Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Add This to Your List, episode 92. We are still in the midst of Corona, the Rona, Miss Rona, COVID-19, however you're referring to what is happening in the world. But we are here, Fumi Simano, joined by Mark J. Parker and Tom Chuba.
What's up, everybody?
Howdy.
We're going to just try to keep trekking along and making you guys laugh and,
yes,
you know, doing what we do, talking about TV and movies and all everything in between, like we love to do.
Mm-hmm. Lots to discuss.
Yeah, that's all we can do right now.
Lots of big stuff out
Literally.
There to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. We got time, Bill. We got time. So we're going to get into our episode. We've got some housekeeping and headlines, and we're going to get into our list, and then we're going to do a throwback edition for you guys. We feel like it's 2020, and we want to throw it back to some of our favorites from 2000.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start off with housekeeping and headlines first. Tom, why don't you go first? What do you got?
Yeah, this one's really quick, but it just kind of drove home the point of how serious this situation is. So the Tony Awards are going to be postponed from their June date. So June. That we're already talking about moving things from schedule that are scheduled for June. That was surprising to me in one sense, but not, because Broadway has also been dark for a good 2 to 3 weeks now, and it looks like it's going to be dark much longer than that. So
Yeah. You're
not really giving people a chance to get out there and see the shows that are going to be up for awards, and because
Right. Some
of them aren't even running that could have potentially been in the running. So, yeah, that was a little surprising, but I guess not at the same time.
Yeah, agreed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense.
And Mark, what's your news?
Yeah, so obviously nothing else going on other than the Corones. And so I was kind of bummed because, as you guys know, just a couple weeks ago, I had Gaga's new video on my list, which I love, for Stupid Love. And she has officially postponed her album. I was hoping it would be my birthday present because it was supposed to come out April 10th and my birthday is April 9th. And Tom's is April 16th. I always know it's like 15, 16, 17.
Right around tax day, yeah. Which
Yes. Is
postponed too, by the way. So.
Oh, yeah. When is the deadline for that now?
July 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So Gaga has officially postponed her album, which is a bummer. I feel like it could really be fun right now for a lot of people. But
Yeah. She,
of course, wants to really promote it. She wants to make sure that, you know, it's a party. She wants to dance with everybody, she said in her statement. She wants to have, you know, a big promotion for it. So I get it. But it's like, oh, I think everyone kind of needs that dance music right now. But
yeah. And interestingly, she said her tour dates are still...
Yes.
A go as of right now. That could
change.
Yeah,
she did say her tour dates, and those were her tour dates for both the album, and then she also does some Vegas dates, so I forget if
Yeah. Those
are being postponed, but of course it's all up in the air. But at least her latest album will be pushed back. We'll see what happens. Kind of a bummer. And then,
did she say when it's getting pushed back to?
I don't think she did. I
Nope.
think it's TBD. Yeah, so... Yeah, who knows? I'm sure, hopefully, I mean, she's pretty cool. She knows how much people love her. Maybe at least on April 10th, she'll maybe drop another single or something for us, you know?
She should do something.
She should do something, right? That could be cool, or some cool, I mean, everyone's obviously making cool videos and using social in a good way right now, so maybe she'll do that. We'll see.
Totally.
But at least album postponed, wah, wah. But at least a kind of a fun, you know, upbeat thing that I noticed, and since Fumi and I, years ago, God, what, in 2007, we met... working at Regis and Kelly.
Yeah.
For anyone who
uh-huh.
doesn't know that out there, we met years ago working on Beautiful Babies at Regis
mm-hmm.
and Kelly. And so I don't know if you caught this, Foom, but some talk shows, you know, obviously are just doing repeats, but some, like Kelly and Ryan, are doing new episodes from home. And it actually was really fun and it works really well. And so at least, you know, there's a silver lining through all this that at least it's kind of helping live shows kind of come up with new
yeah.
ways to be entertaining, you know?
And creative.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they do like a split screen with Kelly and Ryan, and then they like, you know, do a feed in with the various celebs from their home. So it's kind of fun to see their home. So, you know, just something kind of different to keep the entertainment coming. So thought I'd
yeah.
give them a little shout out. But that's all I really
that.
Got, you know.
Shout out to the coworkers of Live with Kelly and Ryan.
Yeah, uh-huh. Hi, everyone. You're still there.
Hi.
I mean, I would be too, sure. You know, ride that wave.
Absolutely. That's it for our housekeeping and headlines. Super quick, super short. We don't want to delve too much into the Rona, you know?
All right. Well, that is it. So let's get into 1, 2, 3, the list.
The list.
The list. Okay, everybody, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. We here at Add This To Your List are three entertainment geeks, and if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you're an entertainment geek as well. You love your movies and your TV, and now we are going to get into it. Let's go with Fumi. Why don't you, since you didn't have a little housekeeping item, give us your items on your list this week.
Okay, cool. So the first thing on my list is something that I was actually looking forward to. It's Making the Cut. It's the new show with Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn from Project Runway that's going to be on Amazon. And it's very much in the same realm. They're, you know, she's the host. She's like the mentor, if you're familiar with Project Runway. Mm-hmm. They pick people from all over the world to come in to what I thought was New York and design and create a collection. Well, this is Making the Cut, and it's on Amazon, so they have a bit of a twist to it. So they start off in New York, but then everybody ends up going to Paris, and they have the show from, like, what Heidi and Tim call the fashion capital of the world. And they have different elements of it. So on Project Runway, the designer does everything. Like, they have a day to put together, to come up with a creative idea, get the material, sew it, design it, put it on the model, and push it out on the runway. For Making the Cut, they are allowed a seamstress, which I realized from the show, I guess that's the way designers do it. I had no idea. So it is an ad. I did like the show. However, it left me a little confused with some elements. I thought that with it being on Amazon, it was going to be a little bit more edgy and a little bit more on like an intense side. And I didn't think that the designers or anyone would be censored. But they do censor people on the show. And so I was a little thrown by that. That confused me a little.
Well,
and
I mean, in the same way that Queer Eye still feels a little bit not very different from the way it was when it was on regular airways versus Netflix.
See, the thing about Queer Eye, and granted, I didn't really watch the original as much, is that it wasn't as emotional to me, the original, as the one is.
Fair enough,
This one, to be completely honest, Making the Cut really just feels like it could be on Bravo or Lifetime. I don't see a difference between any of what they're doing versus what Amazon has done. They have the whole deliberation with the judges. The judges are pretty big. I mean, it's Naomi Campbell. It's Nicole Richie. It's pretty big names. It is the woman who, and I don't know her name. Her first name is Corinne. I'm not familiar with her last name, but she was the editor-in-chief of French Vogue for, like, decades. I believe her first name is Corinne. And then Joseph Azzaretti, I think his name is. The other, he's the creative director. So those are the judges. The way that they judge a runway show is quite different than Project Runway. On Project Runway, they have cards and they basically write down numbers and then they deliberate, and we don't ever really see that on camera.
I always wish we did see it.
Well, you do see it on Making the Cut.
Ooh.
But it's messy the way it's done. So, like, it's like you, so as a viewer, you want to see what the fashions are and you want to see people walking down the runway and you're intrigued by, like, what, you know, they've created. And then they cut to Tim interacting with the designer and the designer watching their fashions run down the runway. But then you cut back to Heidi deliberating with the judges, and then the judges all have, like, snarky little shady comments, which are funny. But you almost kind of miss what they're saying because there's so many other things going on and they're talking over one another.
Oh.
So that was a little messy. And then also the deciding on who's making the cut. And I say that in quotes because that's kind of like how they do the play on words. So during the elimination, Heidi will say, "I'm sorry, you haven't made the cut," or "you have." And she says it and lets everyone know that unlike other shows, anyone can not make the cut. So essentially she's saying there could be an episode where we only get rid of one designer or we get rid of two or three. It just totally depends on how we feel. And even that is like super odd the way that it's done, because it's done in front of all of the other designers, it's done in front of Tim, and it's done in front of the judges, and the designers have an option to, like, pitch themselves to change the judge's mind.
This sounds way complicated.
You know what it is? It's really not that complicated when you watch it. You totally understand what I'm saying. But it's just, like, in my mind, if they had deliberated on, like, the way to do that more, I think they would have found a way to get across their point, but done it in a little bit more of, like, a streamlined way. Because the way that it's done is a little odd. Like, it threw me for a loop a little bit. Especially since, in all honesty, I don't see anything different from what's already been out there. And I think I kind of was expecting that it would be, that I thought it was going to be, like, a level up. And I just don't really necessarily see it. But I say that to say this. I think what makes these types of shows so great is that you're watching people be unbelievably creative and you're watching their talent. And I don't think that this show takes away from that. I think the fascination of watching someone create something in their mind and then seeing it come to fruition is still there. And that's what I think people like about those shows like Project Runway or Next in Fashion, which is like similar, that's on Netflix. So I still say it's an ad, but there are definitely elements to the show that could be better.
Okay. And are all the episodes on Prime, Foom?
No, that's another thing that I don't like. Amazon only released the first two episodes, so it's going to be a weekly release. I'm not digging it.
Come on now, Prime.
I know. I am not digging that at all. So that was also very disappointing. So I don't know. We'll see about if this show is going to have longevity. That's one interesting thing that I'm waiting to see what happens.
It is kind of weird for a company that specializes in fast delivery to all of a sudden not give fast delivery of episodes.
I know.
Well, I was just told tonight. I was just told tonight that my printer ink is going to be 4 days, not two, and I pay for Prime.
Oh,
so,
no. Oh no!
Better give you that credit.
I know that you were thinking about talking about this too, Mark. Are you going to watch it?
I definitely am intrigued because honestly, I don't love the new Project Runway on Bravo. It's fine.
Uh-huh.
It's fine. But like when you now have Drag Race and so many other shows that are obviously inspired by Runway, the new Runway. Even the promos, I'm like, oh, God, snore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am curious. I do miss Heidi and Tim. They're, like, such an awesome combo. So, hopefully they still have that good chemistry.
Well, you'll like it because they do little vignettes that feature Heidi and Tim in Making the Cut. They're a little odd, to be completely honest. But I think watching them dynamic between the two of them and them interact is cute.
All right. Cool. Cool.
Okay.
So, the next thing on my list is The Platform.
I and just today heard about this. I, like, missed the boat on this. Tell me what's going on.
It is... Well, I saw it because it's on the top 10 on Netflix. You know, their new thing that they have is they give you their top 10 movies and shows that are in the United States. And so I checked this out. So The Platform is a Spanish language horror suspense type film.
Oh.
Film or show?
Film.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a show for some reason.
Mm-mm. It's a film. It is an ad. It is quite gory.
Oh.
And very dark. And I mean that in the subject matter and in the way that it's filmed.
Okay.
So I don't want to give too much away because I think part of maybe what can make this so entertaining is going in a little not as aware of what it's about. Mm-hmm. But it is essentially a man wakes up in a room with another person. And he seems fine. Like, he knows why he's there. They have, like, this interaction between the two of them. You're not sure as a viewer whether he's a prisoner or this is some sort of high max security prison or, like, what's necessarily going on here.
Sounds you a do little find Saw out, or something.
Yeah, you do find out within the course of the film rather quickly what the issue is, but I'm not going to give it away. And the whole concept of the film is the fact that there are platforms within this building, okay? And each month, people wake up on a different platform. You don't know how many platforms there are, but eventually in the film you do find out. So you could wake up on platform 6, or you could wake up on platform 36. Oh. You just don't know. Every month it's random. And the idea is there is a very small window throughout the day that a bunch of food comes down to feed everybody. Oh. So you want to be on platform one because you get the first steak of all this food. And I'm talking a full course gourmet meal. Anything that you can imagine that you'd want to eat is on this platform. It is decked out in the most, like, escargot, filet mignon, cake, cookies, soup. Like, anything is on this thing. But they have a few minutes to eat. And every few minutes after you eat everything, then it goes to the next platform and the next platform and the next platform. And so the thing is, you don't know how many platforms there are. You don't know how many people there are. What happens if everyone's greedy in the first 10 platforms and then platform 100 gets nothing? So that's kind of like the concept of the film. And it's really interesting to see how animalistic, how quickly humans can become animalistic in terms of like food and what they'll do when they're hungry. So that's kind of like the concept and the thought behind this film.
Oh God, I just started to understand why it might be gory. Oh, just clicked.
So it's definitely an ad, but I will preface this by saying, I don't know if it's my age or if I'm getting older or whatever. It is a very gory film, and there are definitely elements to it where I'm just like, wow, that was a lot to just watch. But I do think that it's an interesting concept and something that's original that helps add to why I appreciated the film as much as I did.
Okay. I'm definitely intrigued. Okay. So you, overall, you thought it was good and scary?
Overall, I thought it was good. I wouldn't say scary so much as like suspenseful.
Okay.
There's definitely an element of suspense there. And I do think that some people will think there are portions that are scary, that there are moments where I'm like, holy shit, like what is about to happen? Mm. But it's a good movie.
Okay. That's
fine. And I don't know. It is a completely Spanish link. Like, I don't know any of the actors. I wasn't familiar with anyone who starred in this movie.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Very cool. All right. All right, Tom, why don't you tell us what you have watched this week?
Sure. So I've got one thing on my list. Just to give listeners a little bit of a sense, I work for a freight railroad company. So we are considered critical infrastructure right now during these crazy times. So I am super, super busy while everybody else is like just chilling and bored at home and not working. Like a lot of my one friend said that he only got 3 emails, like literally all last week.
Oh my God. I'm so jealous.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, so I was only able to check out one thing, but that one thing is The Plot Against America. That is the new limited series on HBO from David Simon. So just to give you a quick synopsis, it is basically historical fiction, and it kind of pretends that Charles Lindbergh wins the election back in the 1940s when he was running. Well, he actually never ran against FDR, but it takes this figure, Charles Lindbergh, who was very famous back in the 40s, in aviation in particular, and it pretends that he ran against FDR and wins that election. Now, what's interesting is that Lindbergh was seen back then as a Nazi sympathizer. So right. What the story does is it focuses on a family in Newark, New Jersey, which was like, hey, Jersey roots right there. That was pretty cool to see right from the beginning. I had no idea that it was going to take place there. So when the title card comes up and it says Newark, New Jersey, I was like, oh, wow, there are my roots right there. Hmm. It stars Winona Ryder and Zoe Kazan and John Turturro and then a few other really good actors who you've probably seen here or there, but you probably wouldn't know their name. 2 episodes in, like I said, it's a 6-episode miniseries. Guys, I'm going to say this is an add this to your list. However, get past episode 1. So here's my thing. I checked out the first episode, and I was kind of like, you know what? This is okay. The writing is good. You could tell a lot of detail and a lot of research went into it. This production design was great. You believe that it's the 1940s in New Jersey. But there was something slow about it to me. And then the credits came up, and it said that it was a David Simon show. And I was like, oh, that clicked for me.
What else has he done?
The Wire.
Right. Of course. Oh, okay. Right. Okay.
So once I saw that, I was like, oh, and Tremé, of course, which is one of my favorite shows of all time. So I was like, oh, okay, I get this now. His shows always start out really slow because they're so realistic. He has such a focus on realism that it's those kind of shows where, like, you take your eyes away for a minute and you've missed something super important because it's so dialogue heavy. So when I saw that, I was like, okay, I'm going to give it another shot. And I came back for episode 2. And I like it very, very much. It's okay. Very interesting. It picked up the pace a lot in episode 2. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Nice. That's cool.
Has
okay.
either of you seen it or no?
I haven't seen it. I've definitely heard about it. When I saw the trailer, I was intrigued. But then I heard that the first episode was boring. And so I...
That's not a lie.
Watch it.
Okay.
And I also feel like it's very similar to Hunters, which we just discussed on the show. Yeah. How would you say that they're different?
Oh, it's Hunters is very fantastical. Where this is not. It's very, very grounded in realism.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I remember
it's not over the top. It's not there's no camp to it. Hunters has a lot of camp. This isn't like that at all.
Interesting. Okay, this is much straighter. So Tom, you basically would say, based on just episode 1, kind of meh, one and done, but now it's an ad.
Yes.
After episode 2. And how's Winona? How's my girl Winona? Is she good?
It's a very quiet role. It's very different from Stranger Things. She doesn't have a lot to do yet, but she does a lot of expressive work. Because she's basically... She does, yep, she's very expressive. She's basically... falling in love with a campaign aide to Lindbergh. So her family is kind of seeing her as a traitor because she has Jewish roots, and they're like, what? Are you crazy? Like,
I was going to say, is she Jewish?
Yeah, she is Jewish. Yep. But she's kind of being gaslighted from a couple weeks ago, my list item. She's being gaslighted into believing that, oh, he's not really a Nazi sympathizer. He loves the Jews. He doesn't love Hitler. So that's an interesting dynamic, and I have a feeling her role is going to pick up in the next couple of weeks, so I'm excited to see where that goes.
Do they make Lindbergh a sympathetic character, or do you...
You've seen very little bit of him yet, but from what you do see, because it's told from the perspective of Jewish people, no, you're not sympathetic to him.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Cool. All right, that's great, Tom. I definitely want to check it out. I like a good HBO miniseries, you know? Mm-hmm. Cool. So I'll wrap up our list. I, like Tom, have been super busy, but I was able to squeeze in 2 items. So the first one is, actually, I love her. I think she's great. I think her music is just so sick. Dua Lipa. She just came out with a brand new album. Everyone, check it out. Dance to it. It's great cleaning music, working out music. But so it really is. I mean, like, you can clean a whole room and it'll feel like nothing with Dua Lipa. But so the latest album is Future Nostalgia. And on that is the brand new song. She just a couple days ago released the music video for Break My Heart. And so that is the first item on my list. Add it to your list, everybody. Break My Heart by Dua Lipa. It's a fun music video. Of course, great choreography. I mean, which you expect from Dua Lipa nowadays. Great beat. It's almost like a new pop disco anthem. It's super catchy. And the video is fun. It's very candy colored. It kind of has a slight 90s, early 2000s vibe, which is very appropriate for this episode.
Oh, how apropos.
So, you know, there you go. Connection. But she's got her blonde hair. She's kind of going through the city. It's really cool visuals where she's, you know, falling into a bathtub full of bubbles, and then all of a sudden the camera goes with her into like a cocktail. She's on a plane. It kind of gave me a little bit of a quick memory of Britney Spears' Toxic music video on a plane. Just this quick little, like, the visuals just reminded me of that. But super catchy. She's a great dancer. Very, like, you know, still and stiff, but makes it work. And all of her dancers are doing their thing. So check it out. It's a fun time.
What is her background, guys? What ethnicity is she?
Good question.
She's from Britain. I'm not sure
I think you're right, Foo. I knew she's British. She's an English singer, songwriter, model. I don't know. Let me come back to that. And
I do love her. I listened to half of her album.
Oh yeah, it's an easy like 50 minutes. It's very short. It's great. But so this album's one of the big anthems. She's got a lot of good anthems.
She's Albanian. Her parents Albanian. Are from Kosovo, I just saw that too. Albania.
Yep. Ah, that explains it. She's beautiful. She's so beautiful. She's stunning. And she's just so cool. So I just have to add her to my list. I've liked her for a long time, and this album's great. And this video is just giving me life. So add that music video to your list from Dua Lipa. And then my next item, last item of episode 92, boys and girls, it is the show that is taking the world by storm, or at least America. It is all over everyone's feeds. I mean,
let's talk about it.
Right now, Fumi has watched. Now, Tom, have you watched?
No.
Oh, or do you think you will?
Probably not. I watched the trailer and I was like, zero interest.
Let him miss it out.
You know what? I'll see you at the Emmys when this show is cleaning up every doc award, okay? And that show, ladies and gents, is Tiger King. Tiger King, Murder, Mayhem, and Madness on Netflix. I mean, by the time you're listening to this, you're like, duh, guys. I've watched it all. I know all about it. It's an obvious must add to your list. You can't write these crazy characters and crazy shit. It's amazing television. I mean, Fumi, what did you think?
I thought it was one of the most batshit craziest things I've watched since Abducted in Plain Sight. It is.
Yes. Oh my God. What a great comparison. Yeah.
Like you just said it. You cannot write this. Like even the documentarians, they would be told things and they would be like, wait, what?
Yes. Wait, but it's just white trash people who raise tigers and lions. Like, what is
that? Is that all it is? No, it isn't, honey.
That's how it starts. That's like the first minute of episode one. So basically, to give everyone a little summary, which y'all already know. So the main character, because he is quite the character.
Oh my God.
Is Joe Exotic, a.k.a.
They're going to do a movie on him. I call it now.
They are.
Like a fictional movie.
Who do you think would play him? Gosh, wow.
Matthew McConaughey.
Dax Shepard really wants to do it. They've already inserted his face in it. Uh-huh.
Wow. I could see, like, Christian Bale really, like, pulling it off. But so, Joe Exotic, also known as Joseph Maldonado Passage. I mean, this guy has a bunch of names. I felt like every episode, I'm like, wait, what's his name? He also has a long, like, Schleisenhauer or some weird long name, too. But so
I think Schleisenhauer is his maiden name, and Passage was his married name.
I think you're right. Yeah, and Maldonado.
I don't know where Maldonado came. Oh, Maldonado was his other married name.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. So you, right off the bat, you, like what we're saying, you meet him and his husbands, because there are multiple at the same time, and you meet all of his coworkers at his zoo. He basically runs in Oklahoma, right, Foom? It's Oklahoma. Yeah.
Yep.
He runs a big cat zoo, basically. He puts on a show. He is very much a local celebrity. This guy even was trying to run for, like, the government. I mean, this guy, he wants
president
to run for president.
And then governor.
Yes. He thinks he is a big star. The documentarians, the people that work for him even admit that, like, when the cameras were rolling, he just puts on this character. He wants to be on camera all the time. And it shows outtakes of his commercials. And he's very aware of the camera, this guy. And so, basically, he is running this zoo with big cats, tigers, lions, all that kind of stuff. And he's breeding them. And yes, I will give a little bit of a warning. There is some... I haven't finished the series. It's 7 episodes. I made it through half of episode 6. So I'm almost done. Did you finish, Foom?
Okay. Yeah, I finished.
Okay. Yeah, I can't wait to finish. I mean, it's must-see TV. But so there is a little bit of animal abuse, for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, none of it's too graphic. There is some violence from animals towards humans. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, factors in with all the people you meet. But ultimately, it's just showing that, first of all, this shouldn't even be happening. These cats need more space. They, you know, a lot of this is illegal stuff. And so that's when Carol Baskin comes in.
Yes!
And Carol Baskin, I'm going to tell you right now, she's also a fucking loony. She might seem
normal.
Oh my God, all these people, like, every person you will meet, except for the one guy. My favorite guy is the one who doesn't have the legs, if you know.
Yes, I totally know what you're talking about.
I forget his name, but he is so normal. He's like the only normal person who has teeth, who can speak clearly. But so Carol Baskin is basically everyone's enemy because she is she rescues big cats. And so she has her own big place in Florida. And she's so hippie, loony. It's really fascinating. But she's
literally doing the same thing that Joe is doing. And she just masks it under, I want them to be free. No, totally. You don't. You're keeping them caged too.
Totally. You're so right. And I mean, they make a ton of money and they have all their volunteers and they don't give them any money. It's weird.
They don't.
Everyone runs their companies very strangely, very little money. It really is eye-opening, guys. The biggest thing I learned was how so many people, and these aren't like all young people, a lot of them are like straight up like middle-aged adults working for like $100 a day
or expired Walmart meat,
you know. And so then you also meet he's the weirdest, Bhagavan Antal, also known as Doc. He has his own zoo of big cats in Myrtle Beach, but also, in addition to that, he's, like, running a cult with all these women. Guys, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say any more. You think I've ruined it for you if you haven't seen it? Oh, no.
You haven't!
Oh, no. That is literally just starting. There is so much info that I can't even remember all of it. I'm like, wait, what?
And they're, like, 45 minutes each?
Yeah, they're right around anywhere between, 40 to 50 minutes usually. Mm-hmm. It's and oh my god, these episodes fly. Oh my god, guys, just as a docuseries, the way
they end really well.
They end so well, Foom. Oh my god, the editing is perfect. I mean, the main documentarian, he even tells you, like, he was not expecting to find Joe Exotic. He was doing a documentary on illegal animals in the U.S. and the passing of these animals from, you know, zoo to zoo and that kind of thing. He did not know he'd find this stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, basically just know it's all about Joe versus Carol, and that's when, you know, murders and
everyone else is beyond.
It's beyond.
But I have to agree with you. I think that the editors of the show should get Emmys because it is just edited in such a beautiful way that it's like, you know, you normally think like, okay, this is an episode, I can step away and I'll come back to it, whatever. No, the way that these episodes end, you're like, I need to know now. What is gonna happen next? Like, what are you talking about?
Oh yeah, you look away and you're gonna miss a vital piece of information. For real. I started falling asleep just because it was so late when I was watching episode 6 and I was like, okay, I gotta stop because I can't miss this. I'm gonna be so lost.
I did the same thing. I fell asleep watching, I think, episode 4. And then I woke up and I was like, no, I have to go back. Oh, like, yeah. I need to know.
And you never go back, girl.
Oh. And I never go back. No. I had to go back.
We would just be like, fuck it, I'll pick up the next episode.
Yes, thank you.
And there's
also
a really fun BuzzFeed quiz, of course, of which character from Tiger King are you. So I highly recommend you two should do it. Tom.
Oh, I'm going
to
do it.
Tom, you should even do it even if you haven't seen it.
I'll do it.
I would love to know who you get. But it's really fantastic, guys. It's fascinating, and it shows you at least life that I don't know anything about. So, right? I mean, I don't know any. I mean, there's drugs. There's polygamy.
It's crazy. There's
cults. Would you call it a comedy or a drama?
I mean, it's laugh out loud funny sometimes, but I don't
on
think that's
purpose or no?
I don't.
Not think, intentionally.
Yeah, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, Joe Exotic has these music videos. He thinks he is such a star. He has music videos and boom, that cannot be his real voice singing at all. Right?
Oh, I mean, I couldn't even. It's so funny that you say that. I don't even think I processed that in my mind. I was just so like, what am I watching right now?
Oh, my God. I'm not going to say any more, guys. I mean, obviously, you've heard about it. If you haven't, guys, stop everything, quit your job, and watch Tiger King, okay? Please.
Even if it's just to get your mind off of what's going on in the world right now, because honestly, I would watch it and then not even realize we're under quarantine. Like, it was just like, oh, yeah, that's what's going on right now.
Seriously,
Totally takes your mind off of
it's
stuff.
It's totally transportative that way. So, yeah, please, check out Tiger King on Netflix. I mean, join the club and just dive right in, baby. So that is it for episode 92. That's our list, everybody. Let's add it up. We had Making the Cut, brand new show from Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn on Amazon Prime. Check it out. Fumi liked it.
Yes.
She also liked The Platform on Netflix, a new horror movie. So add those items to your list. Plus, The Plot Against America. Tom wasn't sure about it at first, but he ended up liking it. So check that out on HBO. Add that to your list. And of course, just to recap my picks, Dua Lipa's new music video, Break My Heart, add it to your list, and it will get you dancing. And then, of course, I mean, the biggest duh of the year, Tiger King, Murder, Mayhem, and Madness, add it to your list, people. Yeah. I mean, even if you already watched it, add it again to your list. Just rewatch. Come on. I'm sure there's new things you probably missed. So that is it for that our list.
Cool, cool. That was great. So before we go, like Fumi said at the top of the episode, we are going to throw it back a little bit. Nostalgia is still very much in right now, and I think there's no better time for nostalgia than right now with everything going on and all this madness with coronavirus. Mm-hmm. So we're going to throw it back 20 years to 2000 because we are in 2020 already. Lord knows how the hell that happened. Oh, I don't know. Right? But yeah. Let's think about all the movies, all the TV shows, all the music that we love from 2000, and let's talk about two items that we just wish we could go back in time to watch again for the very first time or to listen to for the very first time because we loved it so, so very, very much.
What did Conan always used to sing in the year in the year 2000? Remember that back in the day?
No.
No.
Oh, Conan O'Brien. Really?
Was that on a show?
Yeah. They would always go. They had a segment in the year. And it was like supposed to be like in the future in space. But it obviously wasn't. Oh, my gosh, guys. Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, in the year 2000, Fumi, what were you digging?
The first thing is Girlfriends. It was a show on UPN starring my fashion icon queen. I bow down to you and everything that you ever wear, Tracee Ellis Ross.
Yeah.
It was about four women. Tracee Ellis Ross played Joan. She was a lawyer. And she had her best friend, Lynn Maya, and Antoinette Marie Childress Garrett, her bougie best friend. And it was just a show about, like, love, relationships, dating, sex, women in their 20s. Like, I loved it. In 2000, how old were we? We were in college.
Eighth grade. No, eighth and ninth grade.
I turned 13 in 2000.
Wait. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry. I was like, did you graduate in 2003? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're not that old.
Yeah, so it was like a world where we were still really young, but it was cool to kind of watch these women who were in their 20s, like, having fun and living it up. It was a 30-minute comedy, and I loved it. It was honestly
I don't remember it at all.
Oh, I remember
it. Was one of the first shows to have, like, a black cast and, like, on UPN. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anybody even really – I mean, we do because we were, you know – younger back then, but UPN was a network that kind of spin off of the WB.
Channel 9, oh, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was, it didn't really operate during the day. It was really just like prime time programming.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it worked hand in hand with WB because then some shows from WB moved there, like Buffy.
Went over.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yep. But I loved it. Mara Brockwick-Keel, who's a very prolific writer to this day, she created the show, and it was just a lot of fun. It was hilarious and funny. They had a lot of really quirky characters. All of the main women fall into a category of, like, you know, the sophisticated one and the bougie one and, like, the flaky one and the, you know, the one you can kind of, like, count on. So it was a good show. Good show, great show, and I loved it. Girlfriends. Nice. And then the other thing I chose was really hard for me because I had, like, quite a couple movies that I wanted to talk about, but I decided to pick one that to this day, like, freaks me out when I watch it.
Oh.
And it is What Lies Beneath.
Oh,
yes, girl,
I
almost picked it. But it's, I felt like I had already talked about it. That's why I didn't. I don't know.
I think we talked about it one of the Halloween episodes, but it's so good. Ooh, tell us.
Such
I think it was
a good
actually,
movie.
I think it might have been on my list because to this day, it still freaks me out. So
it's
stars,
so good.
It's such a good movie.
That twist. I remember seeing that in theaters and being like, wait, what?
Yeah.
When
I
she
know.
Hits redial on that phone.
Yes. Oh. So it stars our favorite Harrison Ford and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Michelle, girl, we miss you. Come back.
Yes.
You're doing little things, but we need you to come back full force.
She
but
was
anyway.
Just in Maleficent, so she's,
yes.
she's back. She's
yeah.
back.
Yeah, but we need her back. We need her, like, in the Ryan Murphy universe, maybe.
Ooh. So they play a couple who, you know, they have this beautiful house in, like, northeastern I don't know, was Vermont. It even Maine or Vermont? Yes, like, Vermont. It is mm-hmm. this beautiful right. home. They have a daughter who has just gone off to college, so they're kind of empty nesters. And Michelle Pfeiffer plays a woman who is very intrigued by their new next-door neighbors. Mm-hmm. She's not necessarily sure what's going on over there in terms of the couple. She thinks that there might be some pretty horrific violence going on. Something happens one night where she thinks she witnesses, you know, some sort of violent act, and she's convinced now that this woman is in trouble. And it just kind of goes from there where all of these really odd, mysterious things start happening to her.
And in the house.
In the yep. house. And, like, she's just freaking out. Meanwhile, her husband makes it seem like she's crazy because she had just had a horrible accident.
Right.
And he makes it seem like it's all in her head, but she knows it's not. And then there's this twist at the end, and it is so creepy. And just, it's one of those movies where, honestly, for a film that came out in 2000, the graphics, like the CGI, oh, yeah. are kind of done so well, mm-hmm. where you're just like kind of really creeped out by what's going on and what's happening. And so yeah, I mean, it's honestly one of my favorite movies I've ever watched. It's like probably because it like actually genuinely scared me.
Yeah, it's a genuinely great, like, immediately it was like a classic thriller. Like when you were mm-hmm. watching it for the first time, you knew like, whoa, this is a classy, classic adult, but not, you know, too violent or R.
No.
I think it's mm-hmm. PG-13, but it's just yeah. so well told. Yeah.
So well told, so well done.
Beautiful house.
Beautiful house, stunning. And it's just the subtleties. It really does a really great job of making you like, kind of like on the edge of your seat or like mm-hmm. tense, you know? You're like, what's happening? What's going on? Why is nobody believing her? Am I going crazy? What's going on? Is it really real? Like, it's just done in such a great way.
So and also, like, they both look so beautiful for like kind yeah. of like middle-aged yeah. leads. Like, Harrison
yeah,
Ford looks hot
right?
in that movie.
They have took such good care of themselves. Yeah. Ugh, it's such a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what do you got?
Okay, wow. So my two items. This was also hard because there was a lot, you know, a lot of great stuff. But I'll stick with the creepy vibe and my first choice. And let me know because, Tom, if you want to talk about any of these, you know, I have backups because right now we are keeping each other in the dark. But so my first item is MTV's Fear. Do you remember that show, Fear?
Yeah, yep. vaguely.
Oh,
vaguely, yes.
I loved
vaguely.
Fear.
Vaguely?
Wow. Wow, Tom.
Yeah.
This was.
You guys know I've never been a reality TV person, ever. So at least I'm staying true to myself. At least I'm staying true to myself.
This wasn't really reality TV, per se.
Well, no, it was. It was. Because it was a group of people, they all had their cameras on them, right?
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
they would go into allegedly haunted places all throughout the
right.
world. It lasted a few seasons.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, I mean, I feel like it's got the three of us written all over it. I feel like my friends and I obsessed over the show. I loved it. It had that creepy theme song from one of those,
yeah,
like Godsmack or some scary band. But oh, I just loved it. It actually premiered, I want to say, in the summer of 2000. So it mm-hmm. turns 20 this year. I thought it was great. It was sort of groundbreaking because it took all these horror movie concepts.
Blair Witch. It definitely was born off
of
Blair Witch.
It was totally inspired by Blair Witch, absolutely, with the cameras on them, you know, going down these dark hallways. I think they even went to the Eastern State Penitentiary one episode.
They did.
Yes, they did.
Philly,
uh-huh.
yep, which I love that place. And it was just so cool to get some history with the different places and then, of course, to see some characters with some of these people that signed up for it. I loved it. I thought it was fascinating. I remember watching it like, oh, I have to be on the show. But at the same time, I was way too scared to do it. So I have to give props to MTV for Fear. Part of me would love to have it back, but I feel like it's too special. Like, it has to just live in the past, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I think so.
I would rewatch old episodes for sure, just to see. But yeah, so Fear is the first item. And I wanted to do a movie because I feel like 2000, as we were just saying, 2000 had great movies. But
mm-hmm.
I have to pick. I was going to pick one, but then I forgot this other one came out. And this other one is so special. I have to give it up for Cameron Crowe's Almost Famous.
Oh,
I
love that movie.
Oh, I love Almost Famous so much, guys. If you remember, this actually got Kate Hudson a Best Oscar nomination, Best Supporting Actress.
Yep.
Didn't she win? Did she win that year?
No, she did not win.
She did not win, and I think it also got Frances McDormand a Best Supporting Actress nom as well for the same movie. Great acting all around. It also stars Billy Crudup, who... you know, is sort of, you know, he's good. But as Fumi has mentioned before on this podcast, we don't like his history with Mary Louise Parker and Claire Danes. Mm-hmm. But he's in it. Patrick Fugit, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Fairuza Balk, Anna Paquin. I mean, you have Jason Lee, who was so busy there for a while in My Name is Earl and really kind of got quiet. But just a great, lovely movie. Like, if there are a few movies that are lovely, and I would say this one is one of them. So if you guys remember...
You know, I don't think I've ever actually seen it. Like, obviously, it's been, like, I know about it. But I don't think I've ever actually, like, watched it.
I am so fucking frozen right now. Foom. You must. Oh, my God, you must. It is so good. I own it on DVD. Whenever it's on TV, you know, it's not like I drop everything. But, like, if it's starting, I'm definitely always like, oh, do I have time? It's so wonderful. So, basically, it's back in the 70s. It follows a fake band, you know, a fictional band that goes on tour. They're on the road. And our main character is played by Patrick Fugit, who hasn't really done much, a whole lot lately.
He's going to be in the 30-something reboot.
Oh, is he? Okay, he's very likable. And so he's a teen. He's still in high school. He's a teen reporter. He's an aspiring reporter. He loves music. He wants to write about music. And so he tags along with this band, pretending he's older. His mother is played perfectly by Frances McDormand. And he meets Kate Hudson, who is truly just magical in this movie. I mean, when I saw it in theaters, it made me so badly want to party and like wear cool clothes and just enter a room and like, oh, it's a wonderful movie. And the whole theme is, you know, he wants to get away from his mom. He wants to get away from home, but you know, family is what he needs. And this really isn't a family. There are ups and downs, but oh, I can't rave enough about how special Almost Famous is. So got to give it up for that. My backup choice was very different. It was Bring It On.
Oh, and that's funny you say that, Mark, because that is my pick.
Oh, my God. Oh, perfect.
That's so funny.
That is my movie pick. Yeah, I was going to pick Final Destination, but then I was like, you know what? I'm sure one of us is going to talk horror.
Oh.
And I really did when I thought about it. I loved Final Destination, but Bring It On, I wore that fucking DVD out.
Really?
I can still, you know, burr. It's cold in here. There must be some Taurus in the atmosphere. Even like Eliza Dushku's, I transferred from Los Angeles. Your school has no gymnastics team. This is a last resort. Like, yes, give that sass, baby.
I love it.
But oh my God, what a fun movie. What good writing, what good acting, right? Like Kirsten Dunst and Eliza Dushku were so committed to their performances in that movie.
Union.
Jesse Bradford, Gabrielle Union, what a bitch.
Oh,
but
my
like,
gosh.
Just love it. I love it. It's so much fun. It's so uplifting. It captures high school spirit, right? In a way, right? Like the spirit of being in high school and being on a sports team and what that means for people and how important that is for people and how transformative it can be and how it can change you as a person. I can't say enough about Bring It On. It's fun. The dancing, the choreography. Right? Am I wrong?
Oh my God, I'm so glad we're
talking
about
it. No, it was a good movie. It was fun.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. It was iconic. It was the first movie I went to a little tipsy from drinking a beer. It was my first beer.
Oh, naughty, naughty, naughty.
I love it. Yeah, Tom, it's so laugh out loud funny. It works. It's like campy, but it works. It all totally works.
Yep, and there really hasn't been a movie like that about maybe Cheer is the closest thing. I didn't watch Cheer. I know Fumi, I think you had it on your list.
I did.
Maybe that's the closest thing, but like we really haven't had a really good cheerleading movie or TV show since between Cheer and Bring It On. It just it was so perfect in so many ways.
Yeah.
And in some ways I feel like it was the height of Kirsten Dunst's career, really.
Well, it definitely
Would you agree?
It came right before Spider-Man. Like she was a mega star then for sure. But I still love her. She's always busy doing something weird and wacky, and she was so cute. They all were perfect looking and funny and great lines. Like you said, Tom, those lines are totally, it's like Clueless. You quote them.
Yeah, yes. They're iconic.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So that was my first pick. Now my second pick, I got to stay true to my Jersey roots. I already talked about, you know, Newark, New Jersey being featured on, The Plot Against America.
Uh-oh.
But my second pick is a song.
Huh.
And I'm going to go with Bon Jovi's It's My Life.
Oh,
my
God.
Do you guys remember
how big that came out in 2000?
That came out in 2000. Yes. Do you remember how big that song was?
Oh, it was huge. I loved it.
But it was like a personal rock anthem of all personal rock anthems. Like, it just made you feel good. It was like a, you know, when we're at the height of teen angst like that, it was like a great, like, big middle finger fuck you to, like, the establishment and anybody that wanted to stop us in our tracks. And it really turned me on to Bon Jovi because I really didn't know much about that band before that song. And then, you know, I started going to their concerts and you know, buying their CDs. So... yeah, It's My Life was pretty transformative for me.
Oh, yeah, that was huge.
From a
good
music
pick,
perspective.
Tom. That was huge.
And remember the, actually, I was going to say, remember, it was the big smiley face on their album cover, but that was actually Have a Nice Day, which is also like, it tried to be a follow-up FU song that didn't really kind of work as well as It's My Life did.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. It's such an anthem. Oh my God, I'm so glad you picked it. I loved it. And then I quickly, or maybe not quickly, but like then it was done to death on the radio. I mean, it was like,
yes.
Okay, we got it. You know.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a great list, guys. Nice. None of us picked TV though.
Well, the Fear. I chose MTV's Fear.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, that's
and
right.
Girlfriends.
And Fumi did Girlfriends. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're on your Bon Jovi high.
Well, that's our episode, guys. Thank you. By now, you know the drill. Thanks to Greg, Ali, Jay, and Sabrina. Check out what Sabrina's doing on our social accounts.
Yeah.
She is tearing it up on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Follow us. Engage with us. We're here to chat with you. Go on iTunes. Leave us a review. And go to addthistierlist.com to hear all of our previous episodes and just to see some pretty little photos of us in case you don't know what we look like. And that's about it. We will be back in a couple weeks. We're going to take a little bit of a break. But hang tight, and we will catch you soon.
Yeah, awesome. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Doodles.
Yeah.